pure, with pure deeds and pure thoughts and pure actions. The most important thing is not to serve the faith. The most important thing is to serve the faith with pure motive. You know, if I serve the faith with wrong motive, and there may be some people, I don't know, when one looks upon oneself, one comes across this, that one may be serving for sometimes, or to some extent for wrong motives. If you serve the faith because, oh well, I serve the faith so that I become responsible for this work or that work, and people will pay attention to me, or I'll become an important person, well, this is really dangerous. This is dangerous. I mentioned there's nothing in this life except the station of servitude for us. And servitude is what Abdu'l-Bahá says, become like a dust in the pathway of thy loved ones. I remember when I was young, and I was going, my father was in prison at the time, and the speaker or not? Yes, it's okay. I remember that we used to go once a year to a very, very remote village, very remote village, hidden behind so many mountains, lofty, very high mountains, higher than these mountains here, or almost like these mountains. We had to go maybe 3 days riding on a donkey to get to this little village. And in that village, there were about, the whole village was Baha'i, but it was very small, maybe about 20 people in it. It was the same village that in 1955, when there was a wave of persecution against the Baha'is of Iran, it's called Hormozak, 7 people were martyred. Well, we used to go once a year, or at least my father used to go, and towards the, when I was a young man, I used to go with him, just to meet with these believers, who were so cut off. And most of these believers were illiterate. They couldn't read or write. They were very beautiful people, very humble, very beautiful, full of the love of Baha'u'llah. But they had no education. And that year, my father was in prison because of the faith, and he sent me a message. He said, now you go on your own. Now at that time, I was just a student in the university, had just come the first year of university, and oh, you know how it is when you go into the university, you become very important. You feel very important and all the rest of it as young persons. And he said, now there is one condition. When you go there, you must never feel yourself superior to these people because you can read and write. You must never sit with them in a disrespectful manner, you know, just with an air of superiority. He gave me a lot of information about that. That we must consider ourselves as dust in the pathway of these loved ones of God. He said, if you can go like this, then go on. And I can tell you, it's a marvelous experience for us to become humble before each other. Because I mentioned yesterday, each one carries with him a sign of Baha'u'llah. And it is when you look into that face, you must see a sign of Baha'u'llah. Because all I can say in my life is that I am related to Baha'u'llah by name. I can't say more than that. I can't say really I am a Baha'i. This is where the fear comes in also. How can I say I'm a Baha'i, really and truly? But I am related by name to him. And that's enough. That's enough to look into the faces of the believers. And then you love them because of Baha'u'llah. And the friends, when they have this devotion to the faith, and they serve the faith just because with the right motive, then the great powers will come upon us. But if we serve the faith with the wrong motive, well, I don't know. It's not really what will be, it's not acceptable really. Baha'u'llah mentions that two things are very dear to God. One is the blood of the martyr. Now, the blood of the martyr. Now, why is it that the blood of the martyr is dear to God? It's because you know that the purpose of life in here is that we may become detached from this world and draw nearer to God. This is the purpose of life. But God has given us barriers. There are barriers. There are several barriers that we have to overcome. The barrier between man and God is his attachment. Baha'u'llah says there are three types of attachment. One of them is attachment to this world. We talked about it yesterday a little bit. Attachment to the things of this world. This is one barrier. If we can remove that barrier, then we have two other barriers to overcome. The other barrier, he says, is attachment to the next life and the reward of the next life. And that's a very, very deep subject when you think of it. We don't serve Baha'u'llah. The motive should not be, let me serve Baha'u'llah so that in the next life I have a good position there, you know? What time is it? You want a cup of tea? Since I've left my job, I've forgotten everything. We serve God not because we are going to be rewarded. But do you know why we serve God? Baha'u'llah mentions it in our daily prayers. You read it every day. The noon prayer. I don't know it in English, in Arabic. When you translate it, it will become, I bear witness, O God, that Thou hast created me to know Thee and to worship Thee. That is the purpose of creation. God has not created us for anything else, but just that we know Him and to worship Him. Do you remember when we were talking about the soul, I was mentioning that the purpose of life is for us, for our soul to bring forth a fruit, a child, and that the only way it can do it is to turn to another force, to another agency, and that the purpose of life is that we turn to Baha'u'llah, that we love Him and worship Him, and as a result of this, the spirit of faith is born in us. So you see, we do not carry out all the teachings of God so that in the next life we can become a very exalted person, great station. Although this will happen, there's no doubt about it. This will come by itself. But to be attached to it, it's a wrong reason for serving the faith. You see how delicate these parts are? And the other barrier which Baha'u'llah says, which John in here pointed out to us, is the kingdom of names, attachment to the kingdom of names, which is really, it boils down, being attachment to our own perfections and accomplishments. You become attached to your knowledge. You like yourself because you are a knowledgeable man. You like to be praised because you are a knowledgeable man. This is attachment to the kingdom of names. You love to be praised for other actions that you do. This is another form of barrier. Now these barriers removed, you have a martyr. Because a martyr is a person who becomes detached 100%. When he says, I give my life, what has he done? He has become 100% detached. There is no, but none of us can reach to that point unless you come to that very point of testing, when you are tested at that hour, that moment. If you say so, if you come to that point and then you decide and say, I'll give my life, you become 100% detached. And that is what God loves more than anything else. Because it's 100%, it's a complete detachment. And this is why Baha'u'llah says, the blood of the martyr is the most precious thing in the sight of God. Because you have given up your all in the path of God. And the other thing, which is beloved of God, the tears which are shed in fear of God. And then Baha'u'llah in this tablet, he says, we do not want people to give their lives. We do not want people to give their lives. The world should be such that people don't have to give their lives. And so he said, we have replaced it in this dispensation. We had replaced the blood of the martyr with teaching, with the efforts and the work of a teacher. Teaching the cause of God has the most meritorious of all things in the sight of God. It's the most meritorious. It's not one of the most meritorious, but the most meritorious. Because we talked a great deal about teaching yesterday. Remember, I was saying the purpose of teaching is not just to increase our numbers. Main purpose is not that, but it is to bring a soul to its God. And we talked about it. You remember the force of attraction and all the rest of it we spoke about. You people are in the habit of drinking, drinking coffee and things, huh? Yes. No, go on, yes. Otherwise.
The book of Certitude, I believe, and I don't have my books now, so I can't remember exactly which book. But it says, every man has a conscience, but not every man has a sense of shame. Is this part?
Yes, well, it is not in the Kitab Iran, but it is in one of his tablets, which he quotes in the epistle to the son of the wolf. He quotes it. Yes, he says that he's talking again about the fear of God, really, and the importance of religion. That religion, you see, when you have to carry out a teaching of God, not everybody has this. It's very difficult to translate that word, shame, as you put it, the word shame, from the original language. It means that there are some human beings, but Baha'u'llah says there are not many, who have the sense of shame. If they do something wrong, they feel ashamed of it right away. You know, they feel immediately, they know they have done something wrong, and they'll stop doing it. But he says there are not many people like that. And therefore, he says, the laws of God are given to us that we may obey them, and that we should bring in here, obedience to the laws of God, and to have the fear. It's like saying, and I'll give you an example of it in daily life, it's like saying that there are some citizens who can live without having a policeman among them. But there are very few such people who can live in peace and tranquility in a town without any policeman. But you need a policeman. That's what Baha'u'llah is trying to tell us. He says we have to have a policeman. We have to have an agency by which men can discipline themselves. This is the purpose of that particular, is the meaning of that particular thing that you mentioned in the writings. Well, now, I am going to, maybe we can stop sometime, but I'm going to look at some of these questions which... One of the things I love to do is to not answer questions. leave it off. So you must push me to do it for you. Let us see, where are we now? I look at the... You know, really, I feel that we are... In this life, we are having so much... to do. Time is so short. In every community, as I was saying yesterday, every community in the world now, the time is short. And this opportunities that we have now for deepening and for teaching, because deepening on its own should really bring forth the fruit of teaching. The time will come that we will have not these opportunities. But now the challenge has just come. And if we don't do it, if we don't arise to really respond to the call of teaching, all these questions are good and we must learn it. But I mean, the most important thing in our life is to think every day, am I teaching? And again, I wanted to make it clear, teaching doesn't mean that every day you must go and definitely talk to somebody, although it's a very good thing to do. But it means every day you must be doing something about teaching. It may be you're doing something about one person. It may be doing something about two people in your lives. But that you're doing something all the time to teach the cause of God. Because the opportunities will not come again. And God may give this to someone else to do it instead of us. The conditions of the world are very moving very swiftly towards an end of all this comfort and all the peace that we still have in the world. The conditions will dramatically change. And then we may find that the opportunities are lost. But really God has chosen us, and this is a marvelous thing to think that God has chosen us from among 6,000 million peoples of the world. And have told us, like Baha'u'llah, like that friend of ours in that remote country, telling us to go and do certain things for him. He says, I can't do it, you are there, you must do it for me. And this, I think, this feeling will urge us to go ahead. That we are chosen, really, by God to carry out his work. And it is a great, great privilege. I just wanted to tell you, it came to me a story. Tell you, it's a Persian story, which will indicate how much we must thank God that we are chosen today to become, to carry this great responsibility with us. The story is a story of a mother who had three children, three sons. Do you know that story? Mother who had three sons. And she wanted to know which one of them is worthy to become her, to inherit her estates and become the heir in the family. And so he wanted to test his sons. And so he invited, the sons were living in a different homes, each one of them having their own lives, and the mother was living alone. And so the mother invited one of the sons to come and stay with her for the night. And she chose a very, very cold night. Snow coming, like maybe in Alaska. Snow all over the place. And that night, she cooked a meal for her son. And she put a lot of salt in it. Very much salty. Full of salt. And she drained all the water from the taps and from everything. So there was no water in the house. And so they ate their food and they went to bed and they slept. In the middle of night, when the son was fast asleep in this little cozy room, warm, she woke her son up and she said, I am very thirsty. Would you go and get me some water, please? Oh, the son got up and he said, are you really thirsty? He went to this tap water to get some water, and there was no water. So he came back and he said, well, there's no water, and probably you can carry on till tomorrow morning. Okay, mother said, fine, that's okay. Then the second son did the same thing exactly to her. And the second son came, and the mother got up, and she said, look, I am very thirsty tonight. Would you give me some water? The boy got up again, and she said, are you really thirsty? She went there, and she took a look at the water and found there was no water. She came back, and she slept. She said, there's nothing there. But then, soon afterwards, he himself got thirsty. So he got up and he went out. He found there was no water here. He had to go in this cold weather out into the well to drag some water out of the well. So he went outside And he took some water for himself, drank some water. And he said, well, it's not a bad thing. My mother was thirsty. I bring a cup for him, for her as well. So he brought a cup